Every day, thousands of U.S. auto workers earn full pay for not making cars. Many do community service work or take courses. Others sit around watching movies or doing crossword puzzles, making $26 an hour or more. This little-known program is called the Jobs Bank. The big three automakers agreed to it more than two decades ago to protect union workers from outsourcing and technology. But with Ford and General Motors losing money in North America and contract negotiations scheduled for next year, the future of this one-of-a-kind program is in doubt. NPR's Frank Langfitt reports.
Dan Simon has worked for GM since Jimmy Carter was president, but he hasn't touched a car in 7 years. Instead, he's been working construction on community projects around Lansing, Michigan. His latest is a center for abused children, built almost entirely with GM labor. Simon sees the Jobs Bank as a terrific deal. He earns a union wage, $30 an hour, doing work that would only make him $20 an hour on the open market.
I hired into the General Motors to work on cars. And actually, woodworking is more my first love. And to get paid the automotive wage to do the woodworking, it's great for me.
But if Simon were running GM, he says he wouldn't like the program at all.
Absolutely not. No, I don't see how GM can keep this going for as long as they have. A friend of mine has been in this Jobs Bank since its inception. He has more time in the Jobs Bank than he did actually working in the plant. To me, economically wise, no, it doesn't make sense. But I'm just like a pawn in the game, and I'm just, you know, I don't make the rules, I'm just playing by them.
Simon belongs to the United Auto Workers Local 652. He's among 800 members doing community service work through the Jobs Bank. But he says some workers don't want to pitch in.
In fact, we had one here a few months ago that they showed up here and you give him a job to do or something to do. And he was just floored. Like, what? I actually have to do something? And he would much rather go sit in that, I call it the stockade myself, but sit there and stare at the TV, read a newspaper, and spend his entire 8 hours there. And to me, that is totally demeaning. I would go stir crazy.
The stockade, or holding tank, as most GM workers call it, is actually office space in a failed outlet mall. Workers who aren't doing community service have to spend 8 hours there each day. People like Bill Brooks of Local 602. He used to work the door line of an assembly plant that recently closed. He spent nearly a year in the holding tank.
Oh, they play cards and try to keep busy. You could go do community service, too, but I don't want to go out and work in the wintertime, so it's cold.
Several hundred workers arrive at the holding tank before dawn. They're carrying newspapers, cups of coffee, and coolers filled with lunch. Once inside, some lean back in chairs and fall right back asleep, mouths wide open. Others do course studies online or aerobics. Jackie Smith worked at a plant which made the old Pontiac Grand Am. He's been here since August and describes the scene.
Well, we just sit around and do a lot of chatting, and they got a lot of knitting going on. Made a lot of hats and donated them around Christmas time there. I generally sit around and read the newspaper, and then we do a lot of talking. Oh, we talk about every issue imaginable. Basketball game and the governor's speech, and definitely the auto industry.
Cruel and unusual punishment.
That's Judy Perry describing the monotony. She's outside smoking a cigarette with Cindy O'Kelly, a fellow worker. The two pitch in sometimes at other GM factories. They're looking forward to going back full-time this month at a new SUV plant. In the meantime, how does O'Kelly spend her days?
Oh, daydreaming. No. No, it really. Have a couple movies. What was that, the pretty horses yesterday?
When the big three automakers negotiated the Jobs Bank in the mid-1980s, they never imagined this. At the time, they dominated the U.S. market. The companies wanted to outsource work and introduce labor-saving technology. In exchange, they set up the Jobs Bank, which provides union workers a paycheck until they're called back or retire. Stephen Zachely, an economist at the Center for Automotive Research, says car executives thought they would always have enough market share and not have to use the bank much. Things turned out differently.
Their market share collapsed far faster than they had ever expected. We've seen production declines of between Ford and GM approaching almost 2 million units in only 5 years.
The companies now have too many workers and too little work. Analysts estimate that GM has more than 5,000 people in its jobs bank. Ford has about 1,100. Ford is trying to cut its jobs bank by paying for education if workers will leave. Zachely says the program is already expensive. With both companies vowing to cut up to 60,000 jobs in the coming years, the cost could soar.
Well, at Ford, it likely cost them $130,000 per year per worker to have someone sitting in the jobs bank. At GM, it's likely a little bit more, perhaps $140,000. If there's a significant number of people in the jobs bank, it can add up to hundreds of millions of dollars very, very quickly.
Neither company likes to talk about the jobs bank because it looks terrible to investors.
These are non-productive workers essentially being paid their full-time wages, salaries, and benefits. That doesn't look good when you're trying to present that you're a company on the way to reforming and mending and restructuring.
But if Wall Street hates the jobs bank, some people in Lansing love it.
Bob and Bob are just awesome.
That's Sally Jones, band teacher at Pleasant View, a public school for visual and performing arts. She's referring to Bob Copeland and Bob Schmidt, two GM jobs bankers who do everything from bus duty to making stage sets for school plays.
That's our xylophone that they repaired for us. What they did was took a piece of wood and actually inserted into one of the wheel things down there. It was actually falling over, and we were about to give it to one of the high schools so they could pay to repair it. So that has saved us probably, I'd say, a good $800 or so.
Bob Copeland is sitting in the music room, blowing on a baritone horn, trying to sort out some misplaced valves.
There's three valves, and each one of them is different, and somehow they got put into the wrong slot when they were taken out and cleaned and put back together.
Students greet the two Bobs in the hallways, asking them to fix other things they've broken. Some jobs bankers say they miss their old work. But Bob Copeland, who was a scheduler at the closed chassis plant, says he loves working with school kids.
I'll do this for a long time. This is great.
Officials at Local 652 say the UAW will fight to keep the jobs bank. President Chris Sherwood says his workers can't afford to lose the program with more job cuts on the way.
Now we're getting to the point where we're going to have 2,000-plus people in that bank, and we need that bank here in Lansing.
Sherwood blames the program's swelling numbers on GM. He says the solution lies with company executives, like CEO Rick Wagoner.
The bank is there to begin with because they've outsourced or technology's eliminated jobs. And when Mr. Wagoner says, all right, we're going to have to do something about the bank, and we'll say, fine, we'll eliminate the bank tomorrow. Put our people back to work working.
But GM doesn't want to rehire workers. It's trying to get rid of them, 30,000 of them. The company hasn't said what it wants to do about the jobs bank in next year's contract negotiations, but Wagoner gave a hint in a newspaper interview. Speaking to the Detroit News, he said GM can't keep paying the price tag, $400 million a year. Frank Langfitt, NPR News.